listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Here we go. Once upon a time, not long ago, when people wore pajamas and lived life slow, when laws were stern and justice stood, and people were behaving like they are too good, there was a little boy who was misled and by another little boy, and this is what he said. Me and you, Ty, we're gonna make some cash, robbing old folks and making a dash. It did the job. The money came with ease. But one couldn't stop. It's like he had a disease. He robbed another and another. Robbed a sister and a brother. Tried to rob a man who was a DC undercover. The cop got his arm and started acting erratic. He said, keep still, boy. No need for static. Punched him in his belly and he gave him a slap. But little did he know the little boy was strapped. The kid pulled out a gun and said, why'd you hit me? The barrel was set straight for the cop's kidney. The cop got scared, kitty starts to figure a thousand years if I pull this trigger. So he cold dash and ran around the block. Cop radios it to another lady cop. He ran by a tree. They saw the sister. A shot for the head. She got back, but he missed her. Looked around good from expectations. He decided he would head for the subway station. But she was coming and he made a left. He was running top speed and was out of
breath.
Ooh, till he was almost out of breath. All right, hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I forgot that verse. Don't never stop. welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're live on a Tuesday. Tomorrow will be our Walking Dead Wednesday. Special guest will be Justin. So you guys should come prepared for some fun. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And an unofficial sport.
What about?
And Bullet Ball Extreme. And I do have two random thoughts before we get started.
Okay.
The first one is, I think getting older is also about being more efficient.
You ain't about wasting no fucking time.
We have a lot more things around this house that make us more efficient now, right?
We do.
I cook a lot, so I bought things to sharpen my knives that are simpler.
I love that thing.
Yeah, we can sharpen my knife simple.
You can sharpen scissors off of it.
You can sharpen scissors off of it. That's correct. You know, also little stuff like, you know, closet organizers. We have things now that hang on the back of our closets that we hang our brooms and mops and kitchen stuff off of. You know, cleaning stuff off of. It's just little stuff. They don't even cost a lot of money.
Pots and pan organizers.
Yeah, just little stuff, right? Well, one thing that gets on my nerves, because see, that's around my house, so that I can control my house. But I go play basketball a lot, and I always run into the same problem with basketball, which is other people. And so I went there last week, and it's like you get there early, even though there's 20 of us that do the same thing 4 times a week. We have to start over. It's like fucking herding cats. It's you walk in and you gotta be like, hey man, where's the list? Oh, we don't got a list. Can you get it? All right, I gotta go find a sheet of paper, find a clipboard, find a pen in the YMCA so we can all sign up and play basketball. It wouldn't be that bad if we didn't do this every time.
Right.
And then when you get in, it's all out of order because people are signing up, but they weren't there in the order that they arrived and all this stuff. People try to make their team stacked and all this stuff. And so I don't know why it took me so long, because I've been playing basketball like this for a few years now at lunch. I just went ahead and folded up some printer paper from my house and took a few pens and put them in my gym bag, and just now I just bring them there with me, and now it's much more efficient. Instead of having anyone leave, I just go, nope, here's the list, sign it up and let's get started, you know. I really don't know why that took me so long to put that two and two together, because I could have been done that. But this is 40. I'm just sick of talking to these niggas every time and trying to figure out, well, what now, when did you get there? Now, was he here before you got here? Now, what happened? Nope, here's the list, everybody sign their names. All right, y'all, let's play ball. So that was one thing. The second thing was, I had a moment, y'all, and I'm really relying on the audience here to trust me and to understand, and I hope that y'all had the same type of moments in y'all lives that I'm about to describe. And y'all know I'm black, and I'm very pro-black. I wouldn't necessarily say militantly so, but I'm definitely skewed towards the very pro-black.
Yeah, I'm not militant.
I love my black people. I love us.
Right, I love us.
I love black community. I love black business. I have a black business.
Yeah.
Karen has a black business. You're listening to a black business right now.
Yes, you are.
And so sometimes I go out of my way to support black stuff. I'll be like, you know what?
Me too.
Like, especially now, you know, I'm getting older. I got a chance to, like, look at stuff that's a little, it might cost a little more. Might be a little less convenient. You know, it might not be as, you know, the big stores might do it, but quote unquote better. But is if my money going to a black person's pocket, it's like, you know what? I'll buy some candles that cost a little bit extra from a black woman because she made those candles and they got cool names, you know, like lemonade on them or whatever. You know, I'll do that sometimes.
Yes.
Not, I can't afford to do it all the time, every time. But when it's on my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, so-and-so sells black keychains. I'm going to get one, right? So I called myself the other day being like inspired. I'm going to support a black business. And it was cologne. And I had to fight the anti-blackness inside of myself, y'all. I'm not proud of this.
Yeah, it happened.
I'm telling y'all this because it's real.
It really is real.
Yeah, it's not even really a joke. I had it inside of me. It's a constant battle that we all have to fight. This, like, that's one, like, the other day I was in a conversation with somebody, and I think, I don't know if they meant to say it as an insult or they just really thought this, or they were like, well, I think bringing up blankety blank is sexist. And I said, I am sexist because I'm a man born in America in a sexist society. There's no way that I would ever utter like that I'm not out of my mouth, because I think it's impossible for me not to be. It doesn't mean I revel in it. Doesn't mean I'm gonna always like, it doesn't mean I'm walking around like these females, but there's gotta be latent subconscious and sometimes just downright conscious bias of me being sexist. That's just, I'm a human being. I mean, shit, women are sexist.
Yes,
in
they
a sexist,
are.
It's a sexist society. It fucks us up. We shouldn't be, but when every indication in society is telling you women are less than, this is bad, that is bad, and it's because it's feminine, it's because it's a woman, it's because it's going to get in you somehow, right?
You have to retrain yourself, which is a very hard process.
Yeah, and sometimes even, and then there's also, like, to be fair, there's also like a level of sexism I'm going to be comfortable with in my life just because I have privilege. So it's just certain shit that, while, you know, me opening the door for Karen might be chivalrous to some people, and that's kind of, and chivalry is based on a lot of sexism and shit.
It is.
Karen doesn't need me to open the door for her, but then she will sit there and stare at me until I open that fucking door.
I sure will, sir.
So, you know, like, and then that does linger into other shit. There's other people I open the door for without, I don't think about it. Now that's a very, for a lot of people, non-threatening, positive one. But there's a, you know, even, I listen to so much hip hop, bitch is like a second, like, bitch and nigga are basically like interchangeable to me. You know?
When you listen to hip hop, yes.
Right. Like, I try to be careful about when and who I use it with, but I'd be lying to say if I don't understand. You know, I'll be listening to Kendrick Lamar screaming bitch like it's no big deal. So all that to say, like, I would never try to present myself as perfect. I think too many people feel like attacked when someone points that out. So all that I'm saying is, yes, I have obviously some anti-blackness within me because I was born in an anti-black society.
Correct.
So let's get to the point. I was in someplace, I was buying cologne, and I thought to myself, I wonder if there's any like black cologne, like black owned, black made, black people cologne, right?
Yeah, we make everything.
And I figured, why not?
Correct.
But I couldn't find none in the store because the store don't tell you. Like, the store is just like,
here's the,
like,
brand.
The name of the cologne could have black in it. I have no fucking idea who made that cologne. Mm-mm. So I Googled it. I said, let me find some black owned colognes or fragrances and shit. And I found one, and I almost don't want to say the name of it because, like, I had a bad experience. So I ordered it, and they mailed it to me. It got here within a few days like it was supposed to. I open up the box, and I go to use the spray of the cologne, and the cologne won't spray. And, I mean, I tried a million times. I was trying everything.
You're getting frustrated and everything.
I went on YouTube and looked up how to unclog the thing when it don't spray and use hot water and all this shit. Use a pen. I did all of it. And it was like, I could tell by looking at it, every time I pressed the pump, it was actually taking oxygen from the air outside the bottle and pushing the oxygen into the bottle. So the bottle was just getting more full of air and nothing was coming out. I was just like, what is happening? You know? And I had not, and there was no tutorial about how to fix that.
Mm-mm. Oh, so what, no YouTube about how to fix the pump?
So then I emailed the person and I said, hey man, this bottle's messing up. Can you like send me a replacement? I haven't used it. I can't get anything to come out. Can you just send me a replacement bottle real quick and, you know, exchange it? A few days go by, nothing. No response. It's been over a week now, no response.
That's part of customer service.
Right. And I pride myself as a black business owner on my customer service. When people email us, I mean, there's times it's the middle of the night. There's times we're out eating. I'm like, baby, we got to go back home.
Yes, he
you
will.
Know, and that's not to say like these people are ruining my day. Mm-mm. No, and I don't. If anyone who's ever emailed me about some customer service shit, mm-mm. I've never gotten an attitude with anyone. I don't play that shit.
But we take it seriously because we know how hard people work and how for a lot of people it's a sacrifice. So you're sacrificing. You could have spent that money anywhere, but you chose to spend it here.
And when I started this premium program, when we started this premium program, I say I because I did all the background work, but you know what I mean.
I don't take it personal.
When we started this premium program, our idea was that everyone would hear it.
Correct.
We want people that pay for it to hear it, right? So mm-hmm. to me, I'm like, this person, if they're having an issue hearing it, let me figure out what I can do to make sure that they get what they paid for. Right. You know, I got to credit Corporate America with a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, knowing how to talk to people. I see other business owners on Twitter and how they talk about their customers, how they talk Ooh. To people on Twitter, how rude and nasty they can be.
It doesn't make business sense because me and you have talked about this before, not to get off topic, but yes, that's one thing about us working in Corporate America, that we have certain tendencies that a lot of people don't have. And when you see them do certain things, you go, oh, you're trying to fuck up your bottom line because, you know, as a corporation, which you are, if you're a company, you're an independent corporation, but you are a corporation, you're fucking up your money. Mm-hmm. Like, people can kill your business quick by just putting a bad word out there about you a lot more than just spreading a good word.
Well, the thing with social media is that it's not them putting it out there on you. People can see it.
Yes, they can.
So you're actually doing it to yourself. Your platform now has become, look how mean and nasty I am when someone asks me, hey, this isn't working properly, you know. And there's been times where somebody does ask a question that I feel is like, oh man, this is a really like easy fix, I can't believe they didn't try anything. But I don't ever say that. I'm like, hey, can you email me? If they hit me on Facebook, hey, can you email me? Because I like doing stuff via email. It's easier to keep track of. Social media is extremely hard to keep track of. So I'm like, yeah, hit me up, email, we'll figure out, we'll get the details, I will get this problem solved for you.
Correct.
You know, that's the goal every time. So and if you ask me something stupid, I'm trying to help you like go through that. I'm never gonna be like, that was stupid. Mm-mm. You should feel bad. I'm like, oh no, have you tried refreshing? Okay. Have you checked your spam folder? I'm gonna keep it that way because that's the fuck you should get paid to do. You don't get paid to make people feel like shit for asking for help for shit that they need. So anyway, I emailed this person. I didn't even get a response back. Like, not nothing. Like, not even a, we can't even do that for you. Just nothing.
Right, because that's better than nothing. Like no response literally shows me that you do not care.
Right. So then, and I emailed the site's email address. I didn't just like, you know, reply back to the email that sent it because that's automated normally. So I went and found their contact information. I got nothing. And so this is where the anti-blackness started creeping in, because I started being like, I hate when black businesses do this. In my mind, I didn't say this to anyone,
right,
but I could feel it, like, and I stopped myself and checked myself, because I'm like, I shop at so many black businesses, 99.9% of them I've never had a problem.
Nope.
So why am I gonna let this 0.001% of motherfuckers,
and most of them go above and beyond too,
right? Most of them are like us. We're super paranoid about being the ghetto black business that doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Come on.
So I, of course, you know, checked myself, right? Because I'm like, I'm about to do this shit to somebody that doesn't deserve it. I've shopped at many, you know, like, maybe this person's a shitty person, but that doesn't mean anything about black people.
Correct.
You know? And the other part was, then I started roasting myself because like, and this is the part that's a little bit embarrassing, but the fragrance was by, it had like the person's name on it.
Oh, I didn't know.
You know what I'm saying? So like, mm-hmm. it's like Obsession by Calvin Klein, but it was blank by so and so.
Okay.
And then the person's last name was Crenshaw.
Ah.
And I went, typical. That's exactly what I should have known when it said Crenshaw, not to send this man my money. How many Crenshaws is out there that's handling their business? Like, that's really where I was at with it. I was that mad about the shit. Now, what I did instead of getting mad or going on Twitter and harassing this nigga, I just went ahead and went to Target and bought a replacement travel bottle of like spray, like an empty one, and I've used a what do you call those things, a funnel, I guess, is what you call it, to pour the cologne into this other travel bottle, and now I'm using that, and I like the way it smells. I think it smells nice, but yeah, man, I was being racist against myself for a second. I was treating myself the way that racist people treat us all the time, you know what I mean? Cause
you just immediately get mad, and you, and the first thing you be, and I, now I feel you though, because like you say, periodically when I'm doing certain things, I will, like you say, if you have the extra coins, I will literally go out my way and find black businesses. If I'm thinking about something specific that I want, I will go Google right. Research and be like, who is black?
And I paid that black person surcharge of, black people can't mass produce this shit necessarily all
right.
the time.
We so I know your cost is going to be higher.
Right. And it got me, y'all. I was so mad. I was really being racist in my brain. I was like, this nigga, Willie Crenshaw, I should have known. I don't know no cool Crenshaws. Like, I was just hating.
Yeah, Willie.
Hating in my house. Hilarious. I don't think that was his real name.
I don't think it was either.
I forget what it was. It's like Sean Crenshaw or something. Yeah, Sean Crenshaw. Ovation for Men was the name of the fragrance. Sean Crenshaw. I hope that I was a one-off with this experience of not having any response. And
yeah, you hope they're so busy they just never got a chance. Oh, eventually you might hear something back from them. I don't know.
I mean, it's been 10 days. I feel like,
I mean, most 24 to 48 hours, you know, they should be 72 at the longest. You should get a response.
Right. I was like, I'm going to put these niggas on blast, but I'm not even really mad. I'm more mad at myself for feeling a way about them being black. I should just be mad. I should be mad if Calvin Klein shit broke, and I wouldn't be like, Calvin Klein, of course, look at his last name, Klein. You knew that nigga was gonna fuck this up. See, this was wrong with white people. Like, I didn't even, like, it was completely inside of me, that evil. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing that I think.
That's that retraining shit I was talking about. Like, it is a slow, it's literally something that sometimes you have to deal with for the rest of your life. Like, that detraining, that detoxifying that shit out of yourself.
I gotta stop trying to support black people like this, guys. It's really my problem.
No, I mean, that's not the problem.
I went on the website and I seen all the pictures with fine ass black women and men just standing around in nice suits. And I was like, yes, I would like to smell like nice suits and fine black women, but I was wrong, guys. That was a mistake by me. All right.
And I'm pretty sure if you would have probably picked somebody else, you might not have had a problem at all. Did the great customer service, everything, and no problems.
Sean Crenshaw, son of a bitch, couldn't even reply to my email. Like, come on, Sean.
That's the thing, you never know who's buying your product. So that's another reason why when people do shit, you don't know what size of platform they got or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I was almost on Twitter like, at Sean Crenshaw, run me my motherfucking exchange. But I was like, I don't even want to be like that. I don't even really like when people do that shit to like airlines. Like, it's always like, it always feels so, I don't know what the word is.
Yeah.
Feel like they're a spoiled brat or something, like a baby.
And,
like,
and none of that, I think, you know, and to an extent I understand why people do it, because for sometimes they're so mad, they're like, look, I done went through all these, but like this, if they've done everything they're supposed to done and went through the loops and they're being ignored, this is a way to get a response a lot of times.
Somebody asked, did I go to their Instagram? No, I didn't. I went to their Instagram, but I didn't say anything on the Instagram, honestly, because once I figured that I was about to destroy this bottle by opening this shit up and pouring it out into a spray thing. I was like, fuck it, sicko mode, like, what's the point now? We, it's nothing to talk about. Like, y'all, like, how long was I supposed to wait? Forever? Like, y'all didn't want to do it. There's an easy solution out there to go put this shit in the diffuser or a diffuser or something like that. I was like, I'm already on to the solution. I now solve it for myself. Smells great though, you know, and if y'all's bottles works and y'all go get some, then you can feel sophisticated. I mean, half of the fucking thing with cologne is you want to shoot it out of the bottle that it came in so you can be like, yes, I bought that. That's, it was worth it. And now look at me. Them Crenshaws, man, they get you every time.
Oh Lord.
Yep. All right, let's get into the show, guys. I don't think I have any more random thoughts. Let me look. Oh wait, I do got one quick one. Winners eat the pussy through the jaw cramps, okay? That's all I'm gonna say. All
oh,
right. Let's get into the news.
That one equals the winner.
I'm just saying, losers give up. Let's see what all is happening. Wendy Williams reveals she may be staying in a sober home and battling addiction. This time for, I think, pills and alcohol. I know she talks often about used to be struggle with drug, like crack.
I didn't know
that. Yeah. The 54-year-old TV personality and former radio host made the tearful announcement on her daytime syndicated talk show, The Wendy Williams Show. Man, that show has turned into something else. Like, it seemed like that show used to be like a fun, gossipy type of show, and this shit is now that she's having personal problems, it's just turned into like a very sad, like, every week I gotta reveal to the audience how I'm struggling. Like, my marriage is fucked
up.
Did
she turn to the radio show? So she turned, basically she turned her talk show into the radio show.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Yeah, Williams said that the only other people who knew she was staying at a sober house were her husband and son. This is my autobiographical story. I'm living it. I'm telling you this. She said that every day after filming her show in New York City, she goes to various meetings with other individuals struggling with addiction around the tri-state area. She said she is then driven to the sober home by her 24-hour sober coach. Yeah, I mean,
she getting help.
Yeah, I'm glad she getting help and all that stuff. It's just weird because, you know, she made a career out of talking shit about other people's problems.
Yes, sir.
And now she going through it herself. I don't wish no ill will on her, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's just crazy. Like, one day you're the news you're covering.
Right. You are the news.
Yeah, so good luck to her, man. I mean, it's cool that she being open about it. I think a lot of people struggle with, like, especially opioids, like pill addictions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so taboo that people are suffering in silence.
Yeah, and it's one reason, I can't speak for nobody else, but, you know, it's one reason why sometimes whenever you have, like, certain, even it doesn't even have to be a major surgery. Sometimes it could be, like, a mouth surgery or a small surgery or outpatient surgery. They'll give you these drugs, which I understand to kind of help mm-hmm. cope the pain. But in certain situations, I don't take them, or I only take them as needed, because I know that a lot of these drugs are very addictive. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, nah, I'll work through this pain because it's just, like, I don't want to take the chance.
Yeah, it's just scary that's something we give out and can be prescribed to you, and we know that people struggle with that addiction.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and the thing is, it is needed. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. But also the downside is that it can become very addictive.
Right. It's just, like, it's scary how common it is, I mean.
Correct.
Like, just, like, everybody that's ever had, like, a surgery has this shit sitting in their cabinet somewhere, and for some people, you know, they can't shake it.
Right, and that boils back to why I was like, sometimes I'm like, nah, I'm good, and then, you know, after everything is over, I might hold on to them for a while to be sure I'm good, but then after that, I'll just throw them away.
Yeah, people mix them with alcohol, all kinds of stuff. People, I remember when I had my wisdom teeth surgery, and I told people, oh yeah, they gave me some, like, Percocet or Vicodin or something, and it was back when I still had white friends, and they were like, hey man, so you trying to sell those? Nah, and it was such a foreign concept to me.
Right, I'm like, what the
fuck? At the time, the idea of selling medicine,
right,
to your friends for them to use recreationally with alcohol and shit.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
it was such a weird thing because I y'all know I'm a square. I didn't grow up with drugs and shit like that. And you know, they're like, yeah, man, can you sell it to me? I'll buy it. And these were people with like jobs and like they were, you know, these were not like my, like I was looking at them like, god damn, I should have never mentioned this to you. I know you have problems with addiction. It was just people with 9-to-5s, engineers, major degrees and all this shit, and they still were like, what's up with this, with you selling them pills? And they thought it was weird that I was taken aback so much by them asking about the fucking pills.
Right, and that's why technically it's illegal for you to sell it to them. And
yeah,
that's why, you know, if people get caught with a prescription like that, like the bottle or something that ain't theirs, everybody goes to jail.
But it's so common is that it's not, like, they didn't say it like, oh, because, you know, this is such a rare thing. They asked very casually. Like, it wasn't like we're doing a super illegal thing. It was like, this happens all the time. You got any more of them Vicodin? Like, what's up with that? You got some left over? Let me get them. You know, like it was okay. Like that. Like you would ask somebody that had $10 and if they got change after they went to McDonald's.
Okay. That's true. That's true. And I think it's a me thing. I'm always paranoid that I'm like, I don't want to go to jail. Like I may be like, nope, I'm not going to jail. Nope. You ain't getting jack shit. I'm not selling your shit. Like you will be all right. I will go to jail. I'm good.
Yeah. I just thought it was like morally questionable. Like, you know, like I was just shocked. You know, I was sitting up there like, wow, my friend just asked me for drugs very casually. Like, I'm some type of drug dealer or something. Like, is this a race thing? Is this a, you know, I'm trying to process it in my head. And, you know, they're like, will you sell me these pills, you know, that were for you to get over your wisdom teeth? Will you just sell them to me as your friend casually? And I'm like, why the fuck would I do something like that? So after I sold him the pills, you know, I had like $300, you know, got me an Xbox and, you know, been gaming to this day, you know, still got that Xbox somewhere around here. All right, let's see what else happened. Kodak Black, the rapper and alleged rapist, apparently is pursuing Young M.A., who is an openly gay woman. She is a lesbian. It is not,
it's not hidden. She ain't in the closet.
Her songs are about fucking women. She is what some in the community refer to as like a butch lesbian, so it's not even as if she is trying to appeal necessarily to the male gaze. And as with always with stuff like this, someone took a picture, had a old picture of her from like her high school days or something when she was like wearing a dress and had longer hair and like it was more quote unquote feminine as we would attach our values to it as society.
Yeah, like I said, I've never heard her music or anything like
yes,
that.
Yes, you have.
I probably have. You know me.
Well, why would you go and say you never heard it when you know
I won't put like
you
this.
Probably have heard it.
I would not. I don't remember. I phrase it better. I don't remember hearing none of her music.
Yeah, you have.
That's betterly phrased. I probably do know it. It's probably my bop.
Well,
but
I mean,
I don't pay no attention.
Yeah, she only really is famous for one song. She has other music, but it's not a lot. Like she has a lot. Like she had like an EP for a long time. I still don't know if she put out that album yet. And it's been like 3 or 4 years, at least two or three years now. Mm-hmm. And she had like the jam of like the summer for I think 2 years, maybe 3 years ago. And it is surprising to me that she still hasn't. She still hasn't put out anything else of note.
Yo, bro. I think I had too much Hennessy, man. This Hennessy getting to me. I ain't gonna lie, I'm a little smashed. I'm a little dressed. But we in the club, man. Oh. Yeah, they hate, but they broke them. And when it's time to pop, they had no show. Yeah, I'm pretty, but I'm loco.
Yeah, I'm loco.
The loud got me moving slow-mo. Hey, yo, Tweety, where the hoes, bro? Hey, yo, Keys, where the hoes, though? That other nigga, he a bozo. It's the mayor,
you don't know.
We got liquor by the boatload. Disrespect the life, that's a no-no. All my niggas dressed in that Rojo. I ride for my guys, that's the bro code. Baby gave me head, that's a low blow. Damn, she make me weak when she deep throw. I need a rich bitch, not a cheap hoe. Baby on that hate shit, I peep though. My brother told me fuck him, get that money, sis. You just keep on running on your hungry shit. Ignore the hate, ignore the fake, ignore the funny shit. Cause if a nigga violate, we got a 100 clip. And we go 0 to 100 quick. We just them niggas you ain't fucking with. No. Pockets on the chubby chick. And still go back a 30 and some bummy shit. Yo, Eli, why they testing me? Like I don't always keep the hammer next to me. Like I ain't got a header to the left of me. Like we ain't in these streets more than sesame. If that's your chick, then why she texting me? Why she keep calling my phone, speaking sexually? Every time I'm out, why she stressing me? You call her Stephanie? I call her Heffany. I don't open doors for her.
So, like, and the chorus is like, ooh. That was, like, the jam for, I want to say, like, man, has that already been 2 years? Yeah, 2017. Wow. So, anyway. And I see people in the chat discussing like what the correct term is. I openly do not know if it's offensive. I know which terms are offensive, but, some people said stud, some people said butch in the chat. And I know that the way it's typically defined by a lot of people is to be one of not conforming to the male gaze, sometimes even dressing more quote unquote masculine. Some people use the term mask, you know, M-A-S-C, short for masculine.
Okay.
So like, you know, y'all know what I mean in the chat. I put it that way. I don't know the exact right terms and I don't want to offend anybody, but, and obviously gender and sexuality is a spectrum. I feel like now I'm just having to overly explain this shit that y'all already understand, but I just don't want to piss nobody off. But the point being, she's not interested in fucking dudes.
Right.
All right. Kodak Black has decided he does not give a fuck about that. Recently she shut down her advances against his public advances towards her, referring to him as weird for his persistent interest. In response, he made the situation even more uncomfortable by reacting to her comments during the Instagram live session. And I could place the video for you guys. But as you can imagine, it was fucked up, kind of ignorant.
It feel good that somebody love you out there. I know more people love me than hate me. More people love me than hate me. And I do more good than I do bad. I do a lot of, stuff. But I do more good than I do bad. And more people love you than hate me. I'm talking about how you a girl but don't want your pussy penetrated. Hot. Yo, what's up with y'all? Y'all good though? Y'all vibing? Woo-hoo. Don't be mad at me because I want you, baby. Be mad at me because I want you. Chilling though? I'm talking about a bitch. You better leave out of the emergency. Huh? You better leave out of the emergency. God damn it.
So that was a video. He's riding in a car and decides to say that. Apparently he got songs about as well. She's been open about being a lesbian since February. His infatuation, he's been publicly talking about her since February, but she's been open about being a lesbian. His infatuation with her began with an Instagram comment on a photo that spiraled into her getting referenced multiple times in the song Pimpin' Ain't Easy. I'm fucking young and May, long as she got a coochie. She say she got the strap and the tule. Say she put the crack in her booty. Kodak raps on the track second verse. He also said, the hook also includes a line about her. I go young and May on these dumb bitches like a dyke, man. You niggas can't fuck with me. Last week, Young and May finally addressed his comments while speaking to a follower's Instagram live. Y'all keep talking about this Kodak situation, bro. Y'all niggas is weird, bro. Obviously this nigga is weird, bro. Obviously he is on some shit, bro. Y'all do this internet shit too much. Kodak's words have come under scrutiny for being homophobic due to his past. The Atlantic Records artist is currently awaiting trial after being charged with sexual assault for allegedly raping a woman in 2016. So, yeah, you would think that somebody that I mean, he sound like a dude that's a rapist. The "you don't like your pussy penetrated, I won't take no for an answer" ass nigga, you know. And I know that some people think that, you know, I was talking to a dude yesterday and he seemed to think that, well, he's just ignorant, he doesn't understand how offensive this is. But I was like, if some dude was trying to fuck Kodak Black and Kodak Black's like, "I'm not into that, you acting weird," and the dude was like, "well, you don't like your dick sucked," or something like that, everybody would be like, "yeah, that's overstepping the lines. Why is this gay dude coming at him like that? That's right. Disrespectful, blah blah blah." So why wouldn't it work the other way? Do you need to read a book to know that that's ignorant? Like, there's, see, the thing with the word ignorant, there's ignorance of "I don't know," and then there's ignorance of "I don't care."
Correct.
This is the latter to me. He don't care.
No, he does not.
You know, like, I understand he's young and people want folks to like grow up and, you know, become Jay-Z or whoever, you know, else woke up kind of later in life.
But there are, but
not everybody gonna be that. Like, there's like a couple people like Jay-Z. There's a lot more people that are just like, "I was ignorant young and I'm gonna stay ignorant."
That's true. And there are a lot of other young famous people that ain't doing this shit. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I haven't heard anybody say it's because he's famous, but I've heard that, well, he's just ignorant, he's just young and ignorant, you know, guys do this when they're at that age and stuff. And I'm like, but it's not like he's young and he don't understand sexuality. It's not that he don't understand she's a lesbian, he just doesn't care.
Right.
And that in itself is disrespectful.
Right. And he's like, "I want you and I don't give a fuck."
Right. Like,
and a lot of dudes do that, and it's fucking creepy. Every woman don't want you, and she has publicly said that, "I am not interested. I'm a lesbian. I don't want you." And like a lot of dudes, they'll be like, "You ain't met the right." Then they just say very fucking ignorant shit based off their dick. "Your dick, I don't want. The end, dog. The end, nigga. Give it to somebody that want it. It just happens not to be me."
Right. And for a dude that won't talk about his rape charge without feeling disrespected, that somebody would bring up that he's been accused of rape, you would think that this would cross the line of things that he felt like might feel disrespectful to somebody.
Yeah, because it would just be he walked off a show or something. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But motherfuckers only care about themselves with that shit. Speaking of which, Jess Hilarious, or as I called her yesterday, the title of the show, Less Hilarious, or maybe we should have went with Just Shut the Fuck Up.
Oh, that same woman that was did that thing on the airplane?
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you today.
Mm-hmm. Or, as I was, the new name I would call her, Mess Hilarious. Well, she is back in the news in record time, doing something that, honestly, is what people wanted. So, I mean, I think that's fair to mention. She apologized. She apologized for her Islamophobic rant and said, "Nothing excuses my behavior." Jess Moore, the comedian also known as Jess Hilarious, emotionally apologized in public to the public via Instagram Tuesday morning after posting an earlier rant against the Sikh passengers boarding a flight that critics label as racist. Now, one thing I did hear was that they were not actually kicked off the flight. And I think I said that yesterday when we talked about it. Now, if somebody has information that is different from that and they were kicked off the flight, from my understanding, they weren't kicked off the flight. Everyone deboarded the plane and then they reboarded like the plane. And she tried to make the joke into, "I got them kicked off the flight," which, like I said, was even worse to me. It's all like, it's almost worse that you were like, "Nothing, I didn't do anything racist, but I would like to be known as a racist," because that's hilarious to me to be Islamophobic. So yeah, she posted a video on Instagram. I'll see if I can play it for you guys. It's 4 minutes long, which I did not know you could do on Instagram.
Me either.
It's just like you gotta get a check.
Extra minutes.
Like, you get a check on Instagram, you can put extra minutes of a video.
"Hey y'all, what's going on? I know the situation that I'm in now. It's had my head fucked up, as it should. So I've been choked up about it. It's really been bothering me that there's being a picture painted of me like I'm a xenophobe, or, you know, I'm racist, I'm prejudiced, or, you know. So I wrote a statement, and I wrote this myself sorry I didn't go hire a publicist to get me through this or, you know, write it for me. But I feel like nobody can say what I want to say like me. I don't need nobody to come for me. So here it goes. So naturally, in my previous post, I was defensive. But that happens when you don't take the time to really know what's transpiring. In understanding the error of my actions, I have to first acknowledge the rooted issues, which means racially profiling a group of individuals based on their appearance. And on top of that, publicizing it on a platform where others could be hurt by it and others were hurt from it. The feeling of anger and hurt about this situation is very familiar to me, especially being a black woman. So I should definitely empathize more with being racially profiled. On top of that, the climate that this country is in, that didn't do nothing but add fuel to a wildfire that we still fighting to contain. I'm not sure if these particular individuals that were on the plane are aware of my actions by now, but either way, I would love to apologize personally to them first, you know, for my insensitive and ignorant behavior. Yet, I still would like to apologize to all of you who were aware and offended by my actions. Sadly, I had no knowledge of the tragedy in New Zealand until after my video, which doesn't anyway excuse my behavior. I already know that. Nothing excuses it.
Yeah, it's not even like if that tragedy wouldn't have happened, then her video would have been okay. So I'm glad she realizes that. But also, what kind of bubble were you living in that you didn't hear about that? Because it's not like that was like a couple hours. It was like a day later. That shit was like in the news everywhere. Like it was air. Like how do you even avoid hearing about that? That's wild to me. Because and then especially after America made it about, you know, Trump and about us and about, you know, Chelsea Clinton, it seemed like everything tangentially around that was news. I don't know, man. I wonder how. You know, what are her news sources? Where does she get her comedy from?
That's a true statement. And I know you do have some people, it's very small percentage. She probably should be aware because I'm pretty sure she's, you know, she's on social media. Mm-hmm. But you do have a percentage of people that don't watch news. They don't have any, they like, nope, it's sad, depression, I'll just check out. But even with that, you still, somebody, people talking about it, like, it's, you're going to find out one way or the other.
It was on every TV channel. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not calling her a liar, but it's just that should say something about how insulated you are.
Correct.
If the biggest story in the world you were just like unaware of, and maybe it's because she's so busy. She was on a plane. She was traveling. I don't know her life like that. So, but wow.
But it opened up my eyes to a matter of ignorance as a habit that usually invokes hate. I refuse to teach, spread, or be an advocate for hatred. I just want to make people laugh, you know, bear with me. I'm still learning. And when I say, you know, I'm still learning, I was unaware of Sikhs as well. A lot of them reached out to me, educating me on who they are and, you know, what they stand for and, you know, how they help the world in different ways. I didn't know that. I am ignorant to a lot of shit. Honestly, I'm young. I'm growing in this shit. And I don't understand the power that I have, you know, so I'm learning in it and I'm growing in it. At the same time, I didn't get anybody kicked off of a plane.
So that was all I was saying. I didn't think she did, but it's worse to make the joke as if you did. Like, how do you not see that that's more fucked up? You know, I shouldn't say more fucked up. I guess literally going to the plane and being like, kick these people off would have literally been the fucking worst. Like, that would have been so fucking unforgivably just racist and stupid. But it's also like related to it to be like, I want to be known as the person that got these people kicked out the flight. Ha ha ha, isn't that funny?
Yeah, and the thing about the ignorant lane, you got to stay there, because if you full ignorant, like ignorant, you can't fall back. Like, you gotta be ignorant. You can't double down. You got to always say fuck y'all. You got to be like, I'm gonna stay ignorant. But it sounds like two things happened.
She blinked.
Right, that's the thing. Two things happened. A, somebody got a hold of her and people, her money started depleting and whatever gig she had started disappearing and going away. She started getting phone calls, email people like, bitch, mm-hmm. you fucked your money up. You better apologize. Mm-hmm. So, I think it is, put it like this, only time will tell if she's sincere about this apology. That's mm-hmm. the thing. Only time will tell. So, you apologizing means you're not full ignorant. Mm-hmm. Because people that are full ignorant, they don't apologize.
Lil Duval would have put a laughing emoji or something and been like, fuck everybody.
Right. So, like you said, you blinked. And mm-hmm. that's the thing. When you blink, it kind of somewhat pulls you away. You still on the ignorant realm.
Right.
But it kind of, instead of a 10, it bumps you down to about a 8.
Right.
Or a 7. But you still pretty far up there.
Well, that's ignorance of don't know. And ignorance of don't care.
Correct.
She is trying to plead, I did not know. And in her video, she sounded like, I did not care. Cause people were telling her in the comments and she was like, fuck y'all. You know, I remember that.
She even said it on the video.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. So if you're going to be full fledged, I'm going to be ignorant. Baby, you got to stay there.
Right. If that's what you want to do.
If that's what you want to do. But guess what? People like that, you only get but so big. Mm. Like,
yeah,
you limit yourself by just being ignorant.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't get nobody kicked off of a plane for real. So, y'all can stop saying that. You know, I know what the blogs look like. I know I know how it looks. But I didn't do that.
You wanted it to look like that, though.
Yeah, and
this is what, this is the result of how you wanted it to look. You didn't, no one framed you for this. You said that you were like, day I kicked out the flight and I feel more safe now, and fuck y'all if y'all got a problem with it.
Right. And so
I don't see them anymore.
Right. So afterwards, once it ran off like hotcakes and everybody's talking about it and you're the trending topic and you reading what the blog say and you reading the comment mm-hmm. section, all of a sudden you're like, damn, I fucked up. Ring, ring, ring. Oh yeah, we want to cancel this check. Ring, right. Ring, ring. Oh yeah, nah, we don't, you know what, we thought you was perfect for this role. Nah, we not gonna hire you for this role no more. When that shit started happening, life came at you real fast.
Ma'am, can I have that bag back?
Come on, give me that bag. You know what, nah, I want that bag too. You know what, you know what we have future bags with you. Let's cancel the whole contract now. You don't know what yeah. hit her pockets.
I saw Crystals was sharing like on Twitter that Crystals from The Read.
Mm-hmm.
She was sharing on Twitter that, you know, when she confronted Jess about her use of like inflammatory slurs for gay people, you know, F word, stuff like that. She basically came into her, you know, into her DMs and being like, you know, copping pleas and being like, fuck you then, you know, like, no, I can do this. And it's, so she has a history of ignorant shit and whatnot. Now this is also like how low the bar is for Instagram, YouTube. What is considered success a lot of times is what people will watch.
Correct.
And when you measure success in views, you often skip over the substance of craft. What makes someone good? What makes someone bad? People will watch a wreck.
Yes, they will.
You know, on a highway, they'll stop and watch a wreck. They'll slow the fuck down. Everyone will look over to the side to see the wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these motherfuckers are just wrecking. They're just reckless for a living. They say and do things that are fucked up, inflammatory, and it's the saddest, lowest common denominator, but it is the most effective. It works.
Mm-hmm.
The episodes of The Breakfast Club I always hear people talk about are ones that are fucked up.
Right.
I've never heard anyone say, man, they had a really good episode where I learned a lot about blank.
Nope.
It's always like, yo, they were misgendering Janet Mock. Yo, they were saying black people need to do blank. They were saying that, you know, it's always like, you know, they had a rapist on and they was laughing about Bill Cosby raping people. It's always that stuff because the wreck is the thing that gets the attention.
Yes, sir.
And some of these motherfuckers are famous for they'll get in a wreck. You know, hey, I'll say the homophobic shit. And people will share it even if they're disgusted. They still share it. I haven't talked about it on the show and probably never will, but the Iggy video, Iggy Azalea's back. I've only seen that video on Twitter from people sharing it who say they hate her.
Okay, I did.
It's the best promotion though. They'll watch a wreck. They'll share with you a wreck. Everyone wants to get the retweets and say the thing that gets the most likes and shares and put the person in their place, but it's still kind of helping promote them. She just doesn't seem to really have the wherewithal for people not liking her.
Mm-mm.
Which a lot of comedians have this in them where they, deep down inside, they want to be liked by everybody. And so she couldn't stomach her having a moment where everybody decided, fuck you. And especially, sadly, only in the wake of that tragedy. Cause I honestly think she could have said this shit, and she would have said this shit a week ago, 2 weeks ago, it wouldn't have got the same response. A lot of motherfuckers are only acting as if black people are super offended by Islamophobia in the wake of this tragedy, because it was literally the wrong fucking time to say it. But if she been saying homophobic shit and people been letting her cook, and she been on TV, right? Like, if she been getting gigs even despite that, then we gotta say it, to some extent, people didn't really care. You know, she still got fans. She still gonna have fans after this shit, by the way.
Of course. And it's one thing, you set a house on fire, everybody will go, why the hell you set the house on fire?
Right.
And you be like, well, fuck y'all. Yeah, I set the house on fire. Wait a minute. I ain't mean to set the house on fire. This is basically what, this is basically
he kicked the hornet's nest, and then he turned around and said, I can't believe this hornet's trying to sting me.
What they stinging me for? Why they mad?
And the thing is, she didn't expect her audience to be like, fuck you for this too.
Correct.
It's almost over.
I didn't do that. So, I'm donating $15,000 to those families dealing, and I will later post the links just in case you guys want to donate as well. But I am sorry. I'm sorry to the Sikhs. I'm sorry to the Muslims. I'm sorry to that person on the plane. Because one thing I've never been is a person who bashes religion, a person that bashes other races, you know, amongst anything, period. So I am sorry. I apologize wholeheartedly. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, she only apologizing because she got called out. Nah, I'm apologizing because it's a whole community of people out there that I've offended and I didn't know of. I didn't know them, you know. So I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I was unaware. Thank you for those who reached out to teach me. And I will do better.
Yeah, with all things, only time will tell. That's all I can say. Only time will tell.
Yeah, it ain't really on me to accept or not accept her apology, because I'm not in that community.
Correct.
Kind of like the Kevin Hart thing all over for me, where he didn't apologize, and I'm like, if people gonna be mad, they gonna be mad. What the fuck I'm supposed to do about it?
Come on.
As far as this apology, could be heartfelt. She could have learned something from this. You know, she'll do better after this, I hope. You know, I don't know what her age is, you know, 27. So she's 27. So, I mean, she may have fucked up her bag. She may have fucked up her career behind this. We'll see what happens with that. Because the way it is when you fuck up, you now become known as the Islamophobic comedian.
Right.
That's just how it is. No one's going to remember any of your bits, your roles on TV, any of that shit, your Instagram videos. Because someone's always going to be there to remind folks of the time that you did this shit.
Yes, they are.
The other thing, too, is, you know, giving money, being tearful, having, like, a sincere video and stuff. Those do check the boxes of what people want to hear from an apology.
Yes, it does.
But it should just not instantaneous. You know, like, we'll see from here on out, you know? Like, and we'll see what your real motivations are behind it, you know? And honestly, you probably lost a lot of people forever, no matter what you say.
Come on.
Whether you're sorry about that shit or not, it's pretty much over for some folks, because they can never... they're never gonna be able to get past that shit,
right?
You know, and there's no way to know what she's really tearful about, if it's a lack of followers, a lack of bags, a lack of money, a lack of, you know, opportunities. No one can know. She knows what really happened in those 24 hours, but that was a pretty fast turnaround. So, you know, hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully it's sincere. I don't know. The backlash against her was swift. Social media users of all backgrounds called her out on it, saying she was racist and was guilty of the same type of racial profiling that blacks have long fought against. Yeah, I know a person that was like, I just think it's funny. Why? When did we become a PC? Dot, dot, dot. Well, I don't know them. They were on another person's page on Facebook. And I was like, so you'll feel the same way if it's a white comedian getting some black people kicked out of somewhere because they didn't feel safe? And it was like, yeah, I'm not the kind of person to worry about that. I'm like, okay, well, you're just a fucking cornball. Like,
come on.
You know, it was funny because I went on their Facebook page and they had the Elvis meme, like, y'all let Elvis do it, but y'all trying to get Michael Jackson the dead legends. So before I left the thread, I said, and Michael Jackson did that shit, and then I muted and left. But the point being, though, I think this is about what the fuck you can ask of an apology, and then we'll see. I think people probably aren't gonna believe it. Mm-mm. But just people aren't gonna believe it anyway. That should never stop you from apologizing. Like, if you're sincere. Right. A sincere apology and a fake ass apology look about the fucking same to me. Like, it's really up to the eye of the beholder who people decide is real with it and who isn't. And
yes, sir.
That's when you say the right things. There's a lot of apologies where people say the wrong things, and that's why we go, that's a fake ass apology. You know, we're like, they're like, I am sorry that black people felt me saying nigger was offensive. And we go, oh, okay, that person not really sorry. But she checked the boxes. The problem with Twitter and social media and all that shit in the apologies language, you can move the bar on all that shit. But she need to do this. And then we'd be like, nah, because she did that, that means it's fake. Like, I don't know. So I do. And then the very last thing before I move on, like, she had tried apologizing early at first and it was terrible. She appeared to make things worse, posting a now deleted apology that read, I saw four people of that caliber and I just revert to the past. But early Tuesday, she posted a video to express she did not know much about the Sikh culture and her behavior was inexcusable. She wished to apologize to the men and, you know, just everything we just said. So she had an apology before this that was still doubling down and ignorant.
Yes, sir.
You know, so yeah, and the empath part of me is just, it's being an empath is trash. It's the worst. It's the fucking worst, because her being sad and crying made me feel sad for her, but she clearly knew what she was doing and was fucked up and willfully ignorant and was being told every step of the way, don't do this shit. And it was part of me, especially as a watching a black woman go through this, is like, oh man, like, this is so sad. Why would you do this? But you hurt so many people with that shit. And you just there to, like you said, you're supposed to be there to make people laugh. There's not even anything funny about what you did.
Not funny at all.
Like, where was the joke?
There was no punchline.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe this is a 27-year-old call, wake up, you know, call for her. As a 27-year-old, maybe this is what she needed.
Mm-hmm. And I hope it's sincere, but back to something, I'm standing beside it. Only time will tell if it's a true change.
Yeah, I think that's I don't know. I think that's the best, one of the better apologies I've seen.
Correct.
From somebody who fucked up, but I just legitimately don't think there's anything that's enough anymore.
No, there's nothing.
You know, I think it's over for the days of you can make an apology, and I mean, maybe I say that in the immediacy of it, you can make an apology and people go, okay, they owned up to it. It's really more like months and years from now, we'll see if that matters.
Yeah, and also boys, not if they like you, if they don't.
True.
And also, to an extent, social media is real, and things that happen online actually do affect real life. But sometimes real life functions outside of social media, and people have said fucked up things online, and she said fucked up things in the past, but they still made their money.
Yeah, and well, also, just there's also this thing where I don't think people have fully accepted and embraced it yet, but I'm just as a person that reads people, the vast majority of people, the only thing you can do with the mistake is to not have fucked up in the first place.
Right.
They don't realize it yet, because I think people haven't really analyzed themselves. But if you sit back and analyze your response to a lot of this shit, you'll realize that there is no right, there is no better, there is no, the only time you really are truly willing to forgive someone or to let them earn forgiveness is if you already like them.
Well, correct.
Other than that, we do not do that shit. That is not a thing that happens anymore.
Particularly not online. Nope.
Like, you fuck up, because it used to be there was no online, so there was no like social media for us to grandstand off of other people's mistakes.
There was no pressure.
Let me finish. What I mean is, so there was no online, so there was no individual pressure we all exerted on people, like as a force of, I don't like you, Karen doesn't like you, Justin doesn't like you, we're all on Twitter saying we don't like you, so it feels like everyone doesn't like you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before this, it used to be like, I just need to make amends with the gatekeepers of these communities so I can go on Ellen, and if Ellen forgives me, there is no counter narrative to Ellen forgiving me. Ellen forgives me, she is the gay person on TV who does forgiveness things, and we all have to move on. That doesn't work anymore.
Mm-mm.
Ellen could be like, Jess Hilarious is on the show and she's crying and I hugged her and I said, I forgive you, I know you messed up and you're gonna do better, you know, or whatever, you know, for her homophobic stuff, just not even getting into her Islamophobic shit. That won't matter to none of us.
Mm-mm.
That will not change a goddamn thing. It used to make it feel like it mattered because those were the only voices allowed to have a platform and speak, was
right. Okay,
the
yes,
people
I
you
agree.
Like that the what do you call these, the avatars of the people you offended. So they would find, I don't even know if we have a Muslim person on TV that is that like that, because America's that Islamophobic, but
correct,
let's say we did have some person that we could say like, this person represents to a lot of Americans, when they think Muslim they think this celebrity, right? The way that when you think black you think, I don't know, Bill Cosby or some shit. If they had a Muslim version of that on TV back in, and this happened in 1995, she would apologize to that person, and then everyone would have to kind of act like, well, I guess it's resolved. Yeah, it's not resolved anymore.
Mm-mm.
That shit is done. You say something racist, every time your name comes up there's gonna be people like, that motherfucker's racist.
Yeah,
you can't control that anymore.
Nope, I don't have that energy. I'd be like, I would have to really care about something, but I don't have that energy. I'm like, oh well, somebody else will keep that same energy, it won't be me. But yeah, some people remind you every time you fuck up. I don't got the time.
And sadly, we've talked about her more today than we've ever talked about her before, and probably ever will again.
Correct.
So your mistake got more, the ignorant shit you did got way more traction than your comedy. That should say a lot about everything.
Yes, sir.
Onward is a new breakup concierge service that will help you move on from your ex, literally.
Okay, what services do they got to offer?
Co-founders Lindsay Mack and Mika Leonard both experienced rough breakups and realized how much their lives were totally overturned in such a short span of time. They knew that other people have gone through major breakups and must be in the same position. Their website explains, we all know someone who has been through this, maybe their own personal heartbreak or taking care of a friend through the hard times. It sucks, but it will get better. We're here to help. The site explains further, Onward concierges facilitate relocation and life relaunch, coordinating anything and everything from housing search to the move itself, address and utility changes, furnishing purchases, and installations. We will pair you with the support services you need, including therapist matchmaking, financial and legal tools.
I'm 100% behind this. I like this service.
The service, which is currently only available in New York, offers a 10-day reboot, a 30-day recharge, or a 3-month recalibration, each of which offers different levels of assistance. They also offer weekly check-ins and services for self-care, storage, pet care, and cleaning.
I like this, you know, because the thing is, not saying that men would use this service, because there are men that probably will use this service, but this service sounds like it's specifically targeted towards women.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times women have the hardest time if they have to move and separate, going back and forth, particularly if you're in a straight marriage, I mean, a straight relationship, heterosexual relationship. So I like that because they actually advocate on your behalf. So you can just tell them what you need to do and you don't have to have any interaction with that person.
Well, June is in the chat asking the questions that I have, about the service specifically, which is how far are they willing to go for me? You know? Like, can y'all, you know, have sex with me until, you know, I can get somebody new? Mm. Like, who gonna hold me over for the sex?
I'm pretty sure.
You know, in a relationship. Because with a lot of these breakups, the whole reason that you gotta break up and to the level of get a concierge to break up with an app for you is you probably staying for the sex. The dick is probably too good.
Dick too bomb. So now. Dick can make you slap somebody.
I need some dick replacement. Just to hold me over. Just two weeks, whatever it is, so I can get back on my feet. Mm-mm. My wobbly feet. And, maybe that's what they can do for me as well. I think, you know.
They probably could tell you where the jack off place is, you know, where to do massages and jerk offs.
I mean, are we gonna be like Netflix and chilling together? You know, I need some company. I know you're gonna get me therapy, but I need some company. I've been used to eating meals with somebody else.
That's the part of the services over there and on the dark web.
I don't know. I'm just saying that there's some gaping holes in this in this service, and I need them filled, if you know what I mean. And I want
oh Lord.
But yeah, I do wonder how far it goes. You know, can I get some security? Well, if this nigga crazy. You know what I'm saying? I might need somebody to have my back walking down the block just in case he see me.
They might. That's why they, like, every 3 months we can reassess and you got different levels.
Like, do they take my phone and delete his number and all that for me?
They might.
Because I might need that. You know, what if I can't quit her, okay? So I really just, like, I can break up with her as long as she don't call. Who gonna take my phone from me and keep me away from her?
I'm pretty sure
who gonna block her on my Twitter, Karen?
Yeah, and the Facebook. I'm pretty sure if you read social media, it's probably a big part of it. They're probably like, hey, we'll do your social media, you won't have any contact with them, we'll be sure to delete all pictures, like defriend them. Like, that's probably something that they'll do, because that's very hard to do. And sometimes when you're actually going through something and you're in the, because years ago, not too long ago, when you broke up with somebody and you cut them off, you literally didn't see them. But now when I break up with you, your friends of friends, Facebook reminds you. Facebook was like, hey, you remember when you used to date this nigga and y'all used to be all lovey-dovey? Here's a picture. So, you know, it's probably gonna be their job. I'm pretty sure they have different levels of the service where you pay them to clean that shit out.
Mm. All right, let's see. We got 30 minutes. Let's do a little bit of fucking with black people and some guests of race.
Okay.
As soon as my music comes back up. And boom.
Just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe, find different articles, make us feel fucked with, and win assigned point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's see who's fucking with us today. Alright, a lot of fucking going on with these black peoples.
Okay.
And they're fucking with us. On Tuesday's episode of Fox News is outnumbered.
Outnumbered, okay.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Outnumbered like them illegals come to America? Like
outnumber, like we outnumber them Republicans.
Outnumber,
I mean Democrats. I'm sorry.
Outnumber, like the amount of guns we got per black in America.
Some serious, yes.
So yeah, outnumbered contributor Katie Pavlich argued against Elizabeth Warren's recent suggestion that the country needs to talk about the injustices of American slavery and the lasting impact it has had on generations of black Americans. Pavlich's argument against reparations to the descendants of enslaved people came down to saying the country doesn't get enough credit for ending slavery.
100, bitch, you started it. What are we talking about?
They keep blaming America for the sin of slavery, but the truth is, throughout human history, slavery has existed, and America came along as a country to end it within 150 years. And we get no credit for that to forward and try and make
good
on that.
Well, we did have a very bloody civil war.
Or over that
and
issue.
And we also
and 150 years are a long time.
The racial history, and the remnants of the Civil War,
right.
Particularly blacks in the South,
correct.
Yeah. That was not
and
an easy path.
Still,
I mean, that was bloody and violent and deadly.
And there were Native Americans here when we
that.
Showed up.
Yeah, we're yes. still, we my point out. Is that we were
all
the country
true.
That decided it, and we're still dealing with the issue. But if you want to start a problem and to inflame racial tension even more, start blaming people who have nothing to do with slavery for the sin of slavery. That is not fair. That's not the American way, and we shouldn't be doing it.
Oh yeah, 100. Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Like I said, that makes me fucking mad. The we were oppressed. Didn't like what the shit England and them was doing. Was like, fuck y'all. Left. We left. Now we left. Came to America. People are already here.
Killed them.
Right. Killed them. Wiped them out. And then we was like, but you know what? That's not enough. We've got to have people to do this labor for us.
Picking cotton is hard.
That we don't want to do. You know, work in the fields and shit is hard. So we gonna go out and get people, take them from their country, bring them here, and not only here, up and down the continent of North America. You know, slaves got dropped all up and down this coast now. You know. All slaves didn't end up in America. Some ended up in some of them islands down there. And the thing is, yes, you are actually reaping the rewards from the sins of slavery. So, yes, people are going to constantly bring it up and keep reminding you for the simple fact that you keep reminding us every single day that when we bring it up is a fucking problem. But the problem is that it never really got addressed in the first place. There was never a period of time where anybody ever came out like other countries and was like, yes, we fucked up. Even if it was symbolic, yes, we fucked up. We bought y'all here against y'all will. Even with the Native Americans, you don't want to acknowledge the shit. You want to constantly erase it. Like it's like just erase it and act like the shit just does not exist. So if we act like it don't exist, then it don't exist. And anybody that brings up, you're problematic because I ain't got no slaves. But bitch, I don't care nothing about you ain't got no slaves. Somebody in your ancestry got slaves. So what are we talking about here?
What's funny is that it's not a lot of white people that even could afford to own slaves like
most
that.
Most didn't.
It's they just benefit from not being slaves. Like, you weren't a slave, you still benefited from that. Economic wealth gap, I mean, there's a million measurements that show it. Redlining, these are all, everything that is racist is still a remnant and a holdover from slavery. Y'all the ones bribing to get into colleges while y'all trying to take away affirmative action, like, which benefits mostly white women. So, like, it's just, you know, it's just a lot of moving parts on this shit. What I heard while she was talking was essentially,
come on, so calling them thugs, just call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
That's how it felt to me. Just call me a nigga then. Like, what? We don't get enough credit. That's, hey, listen. I understand you are upset that R. Kelly sexually assaulted you and was using you statutory rape for a long time. But you don't ever give him enough credit for not sexually assaulting you anymore now that you out the cult. I mean, when we gonna give him some, I mean, really? We gonna be this ungrateful? It's like, yeah, you don't get credit for stopping the evil you were doing. Like,
did you create?
I'm not patting you on the back because you no longer have, hey, we don't do slavery anymore. Like, what?
Right, and we don't do slavery anymore because the law say we can't do it. Not because we don't want to do it. Not because we don't have a subsection of white supremacists that would love to lock us up and put us in chains and do that shit again. Not that them people in whiteness don't exist.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, Soledad O'Brien called her out on Twitter. Is it hard for at Katie Pavlish to be a complete moron? The utter stupidity. Katie responded, should have said one of the first countries from the point of founding. My argument stands, but please, at Soledad O'Brien, please continue name calling as your argument and the smearing of America as the originator of slavery. And Soledad said, your argument is factually inaccurate. Google when slavery started and ended if you don't want to be known for your ignorance. That's actually a pretty cordial exchange between those two. But yeah, that's 100 for me. What?
Yeah. It's called The Numbers, The Running, whatever the fuck that show called.
That is so fucking stupid. That is so fucking dumb. And yeah. Just patently offensive. And then, of course, there's a panel of four white people talking about this.
Oh, right.
It's everything I hate about cable news. Khloe Kardashian draws criticism over Love Thy Racist Neighbor t-shirt.
Ain't this the one that broke up with that boy? Not that boy, but that man, did he just cheat, because he was cheating with her sister's friend?
That's him. That's her. Tristan Thompson. Third trimester Tristan Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently she put out on Instagram a picture of a shirt to encourage readers to love thy neighbor. Upon first glance, the message was superficially sentimental, with each line dedicated to a different marginalized group. Thy homeless neighbor. So it says, love thy neighbor. Underneath it says, thy homeless neighbor. Thy Muslim neighbor. Karen, you got a problem so far? You offended?
No.
Okay. So, right. You let me know when it gets offensive to you.
Okay.
Thy homeless neighbor. Thy Muslim neighbor. Thy black neighbor. Mm-mm. Thy gay neighbor. Mm-mm. Thy white neighbor.
No.
Thy Jewish neighbor.
No.
Thy Christian neighbor.
Mm-mm.
Thy atheist neighbor.
Mm-mm.
And the second to last line says, thy racist neighbor.
What?
Yes.
Why was that even on the shirt?
Thy racist neighbor.
Because everything else on the shirt is almost opposite of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, I don't want to be sure what you're saying.
You know, racism isn't a choice for a lot of people. So they just, it's like being born black or gay or everything else that, the last one was thy addicted neighbor, which I don't find to be offensive. Here's my thing. I try to stay out of them Kardashians business. I really do. Like, I try to keep it light. Most of the time.
I don't know who most of them are.
Right, okay. Most of the time for me, even with me knowing who they are and shit, it's just a matter of, I try not to let anything they do be too fucking serious, because they're like a Facebook meme.
Yes, they're always
like halfway wrong, halfway right about shit. And then once people get riled up and they don't like them, they start hating on anything they do. Even when it's like not that bad, they're like, this is how, it's like a conspiracy theory to connect the dots back to how evil it is. And I've seen that obsession take over people, and I'm like, I don't want to be part of that obsession, because it's too much for me. Like, it's like a full-time job to be like, because they're always doing some shit. It's like a full-time job to connect the dots back. Whatever. But this one bothered me. And it bothered me because you are raising a black child.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fucking matter that you're not black in this situation. If you are now the guardian of a black child, you don't get to be like, I have to love racist people. Because those racist people hate your baby.
Now, some of them hate you for having that black baby.
Right, maybe. But they hate your baby, I know that.
Right.
There's definitely white people that are just not equipped to raise a child that is of color.
Mm-mm.
But because there should be almost like some type of class or something you can take.
There should.
Like, you should at least care enough to talk to some people within the community of the child you're adopting, so you can know, like, or raising, or the child whose father you have a child with. Like, so you can know the pitfalls, because you have not experienced these things. So for you to then try to, like, racism for white people can be a difference of opinion. I recognize that is a privilege that people have. You know, I do recognize it. I have privileges in my life that there's shit that I'm like, I can tolerate this, but I know a person that was like a gay person could not talk to this dude. That I, even with me vehemently disagreeing with this person, there are people that are gay that they would see this guy saying what he's saying and be like, fuck him forever. That's dangerous. Don't even be around me. They don't even have the wherewithal to try to
you know, the movement to have that, like, back and forth of, like, this is why what you're saying is dangerous and fucked up. They just had to go, I'm out, right? Women, you know, I talked about it when I did that interview with, can't remember his fucking name now, but the author, Quan Mills. And I was like, yeah, I have the privilege within me to be able to navigate that space of, okay, but what about this? And I'm not just like a race car on the red. I'm not just like, man, shut the fuck up, I'm hanging up, right? I'm like, okay, that's the answer you're rolling with, cool. So there's privilege in it. Well, white people have privilege when it comes to this shit, where white people are often friends with racists,
right?
Because they wouldn't have no friends if they couldn't be friends with racists. They will be cutting off family members and shit. It is a commonplace thing that white people sit down across the Thanksgiving table and the person they looking at is a fucking racist, but also their grandpa or their father or their sister or cousin. That is a common thing for white people. Anyone tells you opposite is motherfucking lying to you, and you need to be careful, because I don't know what they want from you, but don't drink no tea in their house, wash the spoons, like, be careful. Cause any white person tells you, like, when I'm around white people, I never see racism, then they the one doing it.
Come on.
But I recognize that that is a truth in America, while also saying, like, you know, I wouldn't want to be in those environments. Cool. But then you have a black child. To me, you don't get to compromise on that anymore. There's no leeway on that. There's no give on that. Cause now you're compromising on your child's fucking upbringing. You're compromising on your child's comfortableness. That's bullshit. The rest of those categories are things that you're either born into, or if you believe addiction is a disease. You know, there's things that we have that, you know, or a religion. Like, a religion doesn't have to be a thing of hate. You can be an atheist. You choose to be an atheist. You're not hurting anyone with that choice. Racist? What is this? Like, I don't know, man. I know that there's a lot of stereotypes about interracial relationships, especially dealing with black men and white women or non-black women. I get that, and I know that sometimes the shoe fits, sometimes it doesn't. But this shit definitely make me look sideways at any nigga hanging around their house, because it's like, bruh, no. You're procreating with somebody that doesn't understand that you can't fucking just love racism out of motherfuckers.
Come on, nah.
You can't just let that shit slide. That's disgusting. Like, I don't want my kid around you. I know Tristan don't go see the baby often, but I'm just saying, if he gave a fuck, you think he'd be like, what are you doing? Now, yes, I'm out here sleeping with other women, but also our child cannot just be fucking kicking it around racist people. What is this? And she should know better, because I know they be on her ass about black shit every fucking day, because I've seen it. She don't have no excuse for not knowing better. Like, real talk. Like, whoever made that shirt, I don't know if it was an ad or what. Like, only a white person could think that shirt was a good idea.
Correct.
Only a white person think that's a good idea, dog. It's terrible. This ain't fucking, whatever that movie is coming out with Taraji P. Henson and the Klan, man. Like, get out of here. Good grief. That was... Anyway, what would you rate it, Karen? 0 to 100.
I'm gonna give it 75.
It's 100 for me. I'm so
funny. Stop it right now! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous! Get out of here! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! Cut the crap!
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And I say, as a person that I go out of my way to stay away from hating them girls, because I don't care about them.
Mm-mm.
I really don't want to give them that much space. But goddamn, man, I think that if anyone that's responsible for the life of a black child talking about some, we got to love our racist neighbor, 100, nigga, what's wrong with you?
What is wrong with you?
Right? What kind of situation are you going to put your baby in?
Right, had that child scared for their lives, and you ain't even going to fucking defend them.
You're not just raising the white half of that baby. The fucking world is going to be on that baby's fucking neck. You know, like, they're gonna be on that kid's neck forever, not to mention their Kardashian, all that extra shit they're gonna have to deal with. And then to have a mom that's not really committed to having your motherfucking back. There is no Black Lives Matter and also we gotta love racists. There is none. There's no in between on this shit. It's a war going on outside, no one is safe from, as Mobb Deep put it. And that's disgusting. That's that I don't see color type shit. Then don't have black kids, because you clearly need to see some color. You need to protect those children. You're gonna fuck your kid up. Sorry, I don't even know this person, but it's just, that's a general rule for everybody. That should fuck up. That should fuck with everyone. All right, let's get to the fucking with black people. Now that it's time for some guest race. My bad.
That's right.
My bad. I meant let's get the guest the race.
Oh, that's why you threw me off. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I threw myself off. Let's do it again.
Oh, you real fucking.
Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time.
Ba-dip-bip.
That's right, it's time for guess the race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist. All right. Contestant number one, pickleball dispute ends with a wife behind bars.
Pickleball?
Pickleball.
Okay. Are we talking about real pickleballs or a game or...
A domestic dispute over pickleball turned violent and resulted in the arrest of a 61-year-old Florida woman allegedly pummeling her husband in the couple's residence in the village retirement community. Then, in response to a domestic battery complaint, a police officer arrived at 1:45 a.m. Monday to the Wildwood home shared by Lan Augustus and her 67-year-old spouse. Augustus's husband told the cops that the couple got into a verbal altercation regarding a pickleball clinic that was being offered in the villages. After exchanging words, the man said Augustus struck him twice in the face with a closed fist. He also alleged that when the argument sparked up again after an hour, Augustus again punched him in the face, shoved him, and struck his foot with a small metal easel. The victim said that he did not believe he suffered any serious injuries during the confrontation. A patrolman noted observing slight swelling on the man's left cheek, which was consistent with his account of events. When she was questioned, Augustus said that the couple got into a verbal altercation regarding the pickleball membership. Seen in the above mugshot, Augustus claimed she only slapped her husband after he chest bumped her. Augustus was subsequently arrested on battery of the person over age 65, which is a felony. She was booked into the county jail. Was then released upon posting $5,000 bond. Pickleball is a racket sport played in badminton size court with a 3-foot tall net. Billed as the fastest growing sport in the U.S., pickleball has become a favorite of seniors and retirement community residents seeking more action than a shuffleboard contest can offer.
Okay, because I was about to say, what the fuck is a pickleball? Thank you.
Guess the race of, what was her name? Lan Augustus.
We talking about retirement homes? Mm-hmm. White.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. A fight over a game that wasn't spades or dominoes. Uno, white. Ronda Rousey, white. Looks into the camera. I got pickleball, white.
Aww.
And that's how you play pickleball. Pickleball, pickleball, that's a pickleball.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new game for seniors, can't you see? Pickleball the game and pickleball extreme. It's a mix between shuffleboard and hockey, and that's a what? And that's a pickleball. I believe the pickleball will be an Olympic sport in the future. White, go to girls, white. Blanche, Dorothy, Sophia, Rose, white as hell. It was a sweet potato ball, white. My point, white. Catch these elderly ass white hands. She was sour and salty, white.
Aww.
Looks like most of y'all went white, if not all of y'all went white. And all of y'all, including Karen, got it absolutely wrong.
Oh,
was Asian.
Oh.
None of you got it right.
I would not have guessed that.
She must have married into that man's family. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
She must have.
I just know y'all's racism did you wrong. Congratulations, you racist sons of bitches. Let's go to the next one. Brown Deer police officers were threatened, attacked, and spat on while dealing with an OWI suspect late on Saturday night, March 9th, early Sunday, March 10th, and it was all caught on camera.
What the fuck is the OWI?
OWI? I mean, I know that's
something wild impaired.
Yeah, it must have been.
No, it's something. Not oxygen. What is we doing? Oh, wild impaired.
I don't know. Two officers making a traffic stop. I mean, operating.
Okay, wild impaired. Okay, that makes sense.
Like operating a vehicle type of thing. Two officers were taking part in a traffic stop near 51st and Brown Deer Road just before midnight when another crime was committed in front of them. A white Toyota drove past the officers headed westbound in the eastbound lanes of Brown Deer Road.
Oh, shit.
Oh dear, indeed.
Come on.
Police attempted a traffic stop, but the driver later identified as Denisha Davis.
Oh, not Denisha.
Did not pull over for several more blocks.
Oh shit.
Once outside the vehicle, she attempted the field sobriety test. Video showed at times she was giggling and struggling to stand. Her stumbling later changed to spinning. A preliminary breath test revealed a reading of 0.191. Her antics escalated after she was handcuffed. Video showed her looking at the camera, sticking up middle fingers and sticking out her tongue. I mean, you gotta let them know how you feel.
How do you really feel?
Things escalated further once she was in the booking room. Y'all ain't got shit to do, she ranted as officers tried to remove her jacket.
Oh my goodness!
Once she got an arm free, the punches flew and an officer was threatened. Try me, bitch. Don't play with me. I hit you in your chin again. You let me go, bitch. She said, continuing with a sinister laugh as officers tried to handcuff and search her. We are going to war with you, bitch. And that's a promise. Bitch, you dead. You got that? She said. Police said.
Come on all the time.
Police said Davis also spit, at officers while at the hospital for a blood draw. The suspect decided to spit at an officer multiple times. Obviously, the job is dangerous enough as it is. People get upset with our actions and decide to take it into their own hands. It's unfortunate for the men and women out there trying to keep the good roads safe, said Officer Nick Anderson. Davis faces two counts of throw/discharge bodily fluid at a public safety worker or prosecutor, OWI second offense, and operating while over vote. She made her initial appearance in court on Tuesday, March 12th. A $650 signature bond was set and a preliminary hearing was scheduled for March 19th. She also received a forfeiture for refusing to take a test for intoxication after arrest. All right. So, guys, guess the race of Denisha Davis. Karen?
If she ain't black, I think I'm gonna quit playing the game. I don't know what's happening here. I've been wrong.
Have you lost your faith in yourself?
I don't know. I feel like my meter off.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens in this. We'll see what we got here.
I've
let's
been
see the
trying.
Chat room. Riding dirty while passing the Cavassier black. Damn, sis ain't even see daylight. She flipped her wig black. Black Isha, this was a nigga that did this day. What's they see day black? Too much. Bad dog 2020 black. You big dummy Fred Sanford black. This arrest brought to you by Crown Royal black. Denisha black. Name says black. The fact that she's alive says white. Black. Black just because of the type of cuss out. Surprise she didn't die. Black. The correct answer is. And everybody said black. Mm-hmm. And this time everyone actually got it correct.
Okay.
She was black.
Oh, I said, God damn. I said, my racism meter off that bad?
Yeah, I like what I like most about this article is if you scroll down, it gives you basically the story and pictures. Like, that's her going the wrong way down the highway.
Holy shit.
That's them pulling her over. This the DWI class where she was laughing. This was
oh, that was she stuck a middle finger up. That's hilarious.
Stuck her tongue out. I mean, she a G for this. She's G among G. She is dressed exactly like y'all think she would be.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ain't got shit to do was when she got the handcuffs put on her. And they tried to take off her jacket, and that's when she started swinging on people.
God damn, she sure did.
Nuck if you buck. If
for
you
real, nuck if you buck.
Let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race in the bonus round or guess the race. So far, Karen is 1-1.
Yes, sir.
But how will she do in the bonus round?
Better than yesterday already.
All right, let's see. A woman was arrested for assaulting Burger King employees over an order, and she had allegedly caused a similar disturbance. She allegedly caused a similar disturbance weeks later.
What?
Yeah. A Harper Woods woman is facing several charges, including assault and battery, after police say she lost her cool inside of a Livonia Burger King. It happened back on January 27th. Police say Portia Tyler walked into the fast food restaurant demanding to get her money back.
Okay.
She claimed the burger she bought the day before had tomatoes on it, and she didn't order it that way. She also claimed she had the burger with her.
The day before?
The day of before.
They can't take that back, baby.
Did it say 90 days on the receipt? Because if so, you can take it back. I've seen people do some amazing things with those receipts.
Okay, I would be like, fuck it. You know, maybe that's just me.
Y'all got a 90-day return policy, and I would like to return one Whopper, please.
Here's the receipt.
It happened back in January 27th. Police say she walked in. The clerk was more than kind to her, offered her a refund for her food.
Okay.
Portia wasn't having that. She obviously didn't get it her way that day, and she went on a tirade.
What? That was like, we give you your money back, and she was still mad?
She was still upset.
I'd have it her way, and that sent her into a violent...
Oh, come on, news. Now you want to pause after I hit unmuted your ass?
And then you got unmuted to play.
The drama unfolding at the fast food restaurant on Plymouth Road.
Oh, great. All right, well, I guess I'll
in Livonia.
Only on 7. 7 Action News reporter Anu Prakash tells us.
You know what? Let's go to the next session. And while I'm doing that, this will load up. And it'll play all the way through, guys. That's probably for the best. Be right back on screen.
Let's do that.
Because look, I just need to load. And that happens sometimes. All right. Boom. Back up in here. But yeah, man, when you work fast food, man, it's different. There's a lot of people that you get some strange requests, including stuff like, I want a new burger from yesterday.
And the thing is, they was like, you're right, here's your money back. That wasn't enough.
It's interesting because I wonder if it was a sassy refund. The unspoken part of this could be it was
they
a little sassy
had an attitude because
she was like, I want a new burger, which they could have just as easily done.
Mm-hmm.
And instead they was like, ma'am, here's your $1.07 back. And maybe she just didn't like that.
She was like, I'm not gonna buy another burger. You actually keep the money. I just want another sandwich.
Yeah, could
the charges she's facing and how she's no stranger to these types of outbursts.
Portia Tyler is facing several charges, including assault and battery. Police say it all started because Tyler demanded a cash refund and didn't get it. The moment Portia Tyler walked into this Livonia Burger King back on January 27th, police say she was adamant she deserved to get her money back, all because the burger she got the day before had tomatoes on it and she didn't order it that way.
The clerk was more than kind to her to offer a refund of a food, of other food items, etc. Portia was not having that. She wasn't, she obviously didn't get it her way that.
Oh, he's sassy. He really did say that. I thought that was something they were editorializing in this report.
Mm-mm.
But apparently the officer was like, I watch a lot of Jerry Springer, and it's time for me to shine. Okay, is this thing on? Hello, is this thing on? Where's everybody from?
Time for me to get these jokes out.
What you do for a living?
day. Then she went on a tirade.
A tirade caught on surveillance video. Police say that's Tyler trying to climb up on the counter repeatedly, only to be held back by her fiance. She then hurls.
Now, you guys can't see it, but her and her fiance are both wearing purple for some reason. And I mean head to toe purple.
Oh.
So maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's the problem. They came in to Burger King, but they're really Team Grimace. And there was like,
a problem.
It's beef. As soon as we saw you. No
the
joke.
Cookie rack right at the clerk. But when the clerk says they're calling the cops, Tyler and her fiance start to leave. But investigators say Tyler wasn't finished. That's when she threw the wet floor sign at the counter and came back and threw food in the clerk's face.
I just question where are we going that tomatoes get you this irate that you're going to try to take it out on the clerk.
But we've learned this.
You say tomatoes, I say hands. Okay. Also, throwing, like, if you've never worked fast food, you just can't understand. It's one of the reasons I'm so cynical about humanity. I'm sure it's because I work fast food. Giving the general public a little bit of power is terrible.
They lose their fucking minds.
It's like, sometimes I'll see people that like have a completely different handle on a life than me and on politics than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, have you never dealt with people? They not good.
Right.
Like, you gotta fight tooth and nail to get a little something. Cause they terrible. Oh, these selfish
people. This isn't the only time Tyler's been accused of losing it. Less than 2 weeks after this, Warren police say she was charged with larceny and disturbing the peace at a Cricket wireless store, all because a particular cell phone wasn't free with a new contract. They say she screamed at the clerk, messed up the displays, and even took a phone from the store. And when it comes to the Burger King drama, police say she lied about her name when they caught up with her. That's why she's also facing an obstruction charge on top of disorderly conduct and malicious damage to property.
We want people.
Yo. Anything her cousin, like, your customer service got to be on point with her. Like, if Sean Crenshaw wouldn't have got back to her on email, she showed up at his job.
She got anger problems. She's like somebody ain't got anger problems.
This cologne don't spray, motherfucker. I'm pouring it all over your whole bottle on your head. Now what? I demand a refund. Like, what else is she doing this with?
Obviously, the Cricket store and the Burger King. Ain't no telling where else she done been. I bet somebody seen that, but yep, she showed up here 3 weeks ago.
It said 30 minutes or less, motherfucker. Ma'am, that was an ad from the 90s.
Come on!
Fuck you, Domino's. Stick this piece up your ass. And I'm taking your car.
Well, to know that, you know, this isn't acceptable behavior. Whether it's in a restaurant, whether it's road rages, incidents like this can spill into so much more. And we just ask people, take a deep breath and really look at what's important.
One employee told me off camera this kind of thing happens far too often, and she's glad to see Tyler being held accountable for her actions. I did try to get in contact with Portia Tyler, but so far haven't had any luck. In
Girl, you lucky you did have luck. That was luck.
Right.
You don't want to get in contact with her. She's going to give you some contact upside your motherfucking head.
They're going to be recording you getting assaulted.
Right. I tried to get in contact with Portia Tyler, and she's, thank God I didn't.
Right, right. I tried to get in contact with her. We found her, and she gave me the whole combo, the left and the right.
Right. She said, I think you ordered a Burger King combo, and when I say that, I mean punches. Back to you, Jim. Ouch. All right, Karen. Guess the race of Portia Tyler.
Portia is black.
Karen's going with black. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. I know you guys.
Nah, unless there's a white Porsche out there, then I would be shocked.
She was searching for the actual Burger King so she could whoop his ass, black. Black woman who need to channel her entitled white woman. Right. May I speak to a manager so I can punch them in the face? White, that was at the Burger King where you have it your way because plus you get these hands. I'm the Burger Queen, run me my coins, black. Holla for a dollar, black. Fuck that. Everything in this bitch about to be free, black. That was her Love and Hip Hop audition tape, black. Always Aww. Running the game, black. Hey, Portia is a Shakespeare name. So what race you going with, Nicole? Oh, you put white. Okay. Mm-hmm. And black. So everyone went black except for Nicole, who went with white. And, Nicole, baby, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you was absolutely wrong. She was black. And only
Nicole missed it.
Oh, and she looked like she would do it again.
She looked like Rick James, man. This is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her fiance was trying to stop her too. It just,
oh, he know how nothing. She is.
Yeah, he know. Like, he one of them people that be like, come on, please, just give her the $2, just please.
He one of them one be like, yeah, I'm gonna go fix this. I'm gonna come with you. No, I got, baby, no, you stay here. I can handle this.
Listen, man, between you and me, I can't afford to bail out no more. Please, just give her $2.
I can't afford to bail out.
It's $2.50, man. You're gonna be saving me $500. I promise you. Just please. Please, man. Oh, God. Here she come with the register. Oh, God. Baby, please don't. Oh, Lord. That's, oh, all right. Let's just go, baby. It's okay. I shouldn't have said I didn't want tomatoes. I was, it probably wasn't even her burger. It was probably his. He was like, I don't want no tomatoes. And she was like, it's tomatoes on this shit, Jerome. I know, baby. That's why I didn't eat it. We are taking this back. It's been 24 hours. I don't give a damn. You didn't eat it. We gonna get this motherfucking money back.
I guarantee you that, yeah. And that's why, you know, people say that stuff like crazy, you know, crazy is addictive, and I like having, no, this is why you don't have relationships with crazy people.
Right. I'm team petty. Hashtag team leave me alone. Lose my number.
Does Ayana need to fix their lives?
A man is charged with assaulting a woman and threatening with a sword. Seward, Alaska, a 50-year-old Alaska Anchorage man, has been charged with seriously injuring a family member. Alaska State Troopers say Timothy Elve is charged with 3 counts of felony assault, 2 counts of misdemeanor assault. Early Saturday morning, there was a 911 call, and you could hear sounds of screaming and a physical disturbance. They traced the call back to the home in Seward. Troops and Seward police drove to the home, found him with a sword threatening to kill a woman. Troopers determined Elv had smoked meth and seriously injured the woman before grabbing the sword. He surrendered when confronted by public safety officers. Oh, man. Must not be a lot to do in Alaska.
Probably
except
not.
Except meth. Yes. All right, guys, tomorrow we'll have Justin on to do our Walking Dead recap. Thank you so much for everybody listening. We appreciate y'all, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
Love you too. Mwah.